Hi, my name's Claire. I'm an alcoholic. I'm just going to pray that I don't pass out or vomit, and then hopefully everything will be okay. I've been even around these rooms for probably like 4 years, and I used to always come to this meeting late on purpose, so no one would ever ask me to be the 15-minute speaker. So that didn't happen tonight. I came here on time. But anyway, so my sobriety date is October 17th, 2012. However, I have not been active in AA since then, and that's kind of an interesting part of my story, which I'll get to. But I have a sponsor. I don't sponsor others yet because I am going through the steps over with my sponsor. I always kind of try to think about, actually last night at a meeting, I was trying to think about what my first drink was. I really can't remember because literally from the time I was probably like 6 or 7, I was always trying to, like, my parents would order margaritas because I grew up in San Antonio and there's like margaritas everywhere. I would like literally like try to grab the straw when my mom turned her head because I loved the way tequila tasted. That's weird. I was 6 or 7, but I loved the way it tasted and I loved the way it made me feel. So, I was always trying to sneak drinks, and then probably starting in like 8th grade, I thought I'd be the cool kid because I moved to a new city, and I started spiking all the Kool-Aid with vodka and taking them to the football games, so I was pretty popular in 8th grade. I knew I couldn't ever be a cheerleader because then you can't drink at the football games, and that's not any fun. So I wasn't too crazy, I was a little crazy in high school, but I lived in a really small town, so it wasn't too much. I got through college, got through graduate school, and that's really when my drinking got pretty bad. I was always, through like high school and college, I was always a blackout drinker, always, like that whole phenomenon of craving. Like as soon as I start drinking, I love that feeling, and I'm going to chase it and keep drinking until I'm in oblivion. So I don't know how to drink and just enjoy it like other people do, which I struggle with a lot, and I'll kind of get into that. After graduate school, this is probably 2007, I had everything set up perfectly. I had, my career was set up, I didn't have to go to school anymore, and I decided, it was like so weird in my head, because I'll think of little things, and I'll remember like when I turned 18, I'm like, I have to get a boyfriend that's 21, because I have to be able to have alcohol, like all the time. And those little thoughts I don't even remember until, you know, I'm sober longer, but it's so crazy to think that, you know, I just wanted, as long as there was going to be alcohol there, I'd be okay. And I really didn't understand until I started, you know, really getting into the steps and that kind of stuff, why, like, I never really thought about why. I thought just, like, everybody likes to drink like that, and I thought everything's better drinking, everything's more fun drinking, I feel happier drinking, that weird empty feeling I have is gone when I'm drinking. I kind of thought that was just normal. So, you know, my friends were always like, we think you have some kind of allergy to alcohol. Like, you just, you know, had 2 drinks and you're already, like, passed out somewhere. They didn't know how much I was drinking before I met up with them, so, which was a lot. So back to kind of, after I was, you know, 2007-ish time frame, I guess, I had my whole little perfect world set up where I had my own place, so no one knew what I was doing, and I had this plan that I could just schedule, you know, instead of having to, like, schedule my binge drinkings, like, in graduate school, I could just drink every day now. As long as I went to work from 8 to 5, I could be, you know, a functioning alcoholic. But I didn't have any idea I was an alcoholic. I started doing that, and I would, you know, come home from work, and I had this, you know, beautiful apartment in Harbor Island, and, you know, I thought it would be this wonderful little life I'd have. I could, you know, like, take a quick drive. I would say cab, but I wouldn't take cabs. A quick little drive to South Howard. I could walk to Channelside, even though that didn't work out too well, because I'd usually black out and fall in the bushes. That was horrible. I did wake up a few times with, like, leaves in my hair. It was bad. That was my idea until I stopped really going out. And, I'd come home from work and just immediately start drinking until I black out every night. That was okay. Of course, the weekend was, like, usually, you know, from Thursday night starting. I had, like, happier I'd get to every day of the week. And then usually, you know, like, Thursday I'd hit it hard, and then I'd be feeling like crap on Friday. And so I'd start, like, having to drink on my lunch break because I just felt so crappy. And I would, you know, I'm a pharmacist, so I had special nausea drugs at work that I could borrow. So I was just in this prison of my own that I had made, and I was starting to the point where I was like sick every morning I woke up. You know, the drinking started from as soon as I got off Friday, or even at lunch on Friday, till, you know, Sunday night, and I would just be like, you know, dying on Monday morning. I just, ugh, I can't, like, it's so funny, but like after I was 3 months later down the road, but I really wanted to have a toilet that I didn't feel like I was going to die over, you know, because I felt like that apartment, it was just like became like this dungeon to me. It was like my own prison, and it was just dark, and I like just was by myself drinking all the time. Sometimes I'd start drinking and then like start inviting people over and then like try to go places, and that did not work out well because they'd be like, something happened to you. You like wouldn't move when you got in the car. It was really weird. Like, yeah, I was really tired. I didn't sleep much last night. I'm on these allergy meds, you know, they make me really sleepy. And, you know, I never, ever thought, ever, that I was an alcoholic. I just thought, you know, I'm doing everything right, I'm not getting into trouble. Well, you know, one Sunday night, I decided to go hear a band play in Ybor City with one of my friends who also liked to drink a lot. And he had, like, pretty much blacked out, so I thought, I'll just drive home. It's just from Ybor to Channelside, or to Harbor Island, no big deal. So I kind of ran over a curb and sort of ended up in a nice orange outfit, which is not my color, in Orient Road Jail, and that was a pretty big wake-up call, because for me, it didn't make me feel like I had a problem drinking. It was just like, oops, I got caught, and, you know, the only thing was is like, oh, crap, everybody is going to know now. Like, my family might know. My job might know. Like, my whole secret that I thought was a big secret, you know, everybody, it's all out. So I freaked out. And, you know, I couldn't drive, which really sucked, because then I had to walk to Publix, which is a pretty far walk, and it was really hot outside. So, but I would go and get my green bag and, like, load it with wine and get back to my apartment. And then, you know, especially, like, I don't know if you've experienced that, but when you feel like you get, you know, you get into legal trouble for the first time, you're like, you know, I thought I was going to lose my job, you know, lose my license, my driver's license, obviously, but, like, my pharmacist license, and I felt like my whole life was down the dump. So I started drinking more and more and more. Until one day at work, my job found out about what happened because someone saw my mugshot, one of those damn magazines, at the gas station. And my ex-boyfriend, who always told me, you're going to get a DUI, you're going to DUI, took a picture of it too and sent it to me very nicely. So it was so humiliating, like the humiliation and not knowing like who to go to. I'm like, they need like a special rehab for people after they get a DUI because they're so depressed, you know. Like, I just thought, I'm going to have like a new counseling center so I can help people that are going through this because it sucks. But anyways, so I was at work, and my job found out, and they called me in the office, and I was like, this is it. My life's over. I can't live, you know, without my job. My student loans were, like, over six figures, and I'm like, I'm done. So, and I was so isolated at that point. I mean, you can only imagine, I'm sure, if you've been there, but, like, my family, like, never heard from me. They thought, you know, they were probably thought I was dead most of the time. My mom's like, when she talked to me, she's like, I was worried you were going to be in a ditch somewhere. You know, just at least call me. I didn't care. I didn't call anybody back ever. But basically, I was at work, and I decided, like, the next day, I'm like, I can't deal with this. Like, I can't handle what I've gotten myself into, and I can't stop drinking. And I had no idea about AA at all. Like, no one in my family is an alcoholic. You know, I'd never had any experience with alcoholism at all. Well, AA anyway. Obviously, alcoholism. And so I used to think I was cool because I could, like, barf and then take a tequila shot, you know, but that isn't exactly something to be proud of. But anyway, so I'm losing my train of thought. So I decided I'm done. Like, I'm going to check out. I can't deal with this. And I kind of had a play in my mind. You know, I was not made fun of people who try to kill themselves on, like, Tylenol or, like, Vicodin, but I'm like, I knew the right drugs to take, so I won't, you know, have like liver damage and like still be alive. I'll just know what to do. So, and that's really scary because, you know, I really had that play in my head. And as I'm walking out of the clinic, just sobbing, crying, I look up, and this is like such a God moment for me. There was actually a girl, she moved away from here, but her name was Kate, and we had been drinking buddies, and she kind of had said, like, here and there, like, yeah, I used to go to AA meetings. Well, we had stopped being friends because she quit drinking. So obviously she was probably going to meetings. So I looked up, and I don't know what it was, but I looked up at her, and she saw my face, and I said, "Will you take me to a meeting tonight?" And that was just a total God moment for me. So that was the first meeting I ever went to. I sat there, and it was a speaker meeting at a halfway house, and I had never, ever, like, related. I'd never, you know, been able to relate to someone like that, the words she was saying, and, like, I couldn't relate to her story as much, but, like, the emotions she was talking about and that emptiness and, you know, all things she had gone through, I was like, holy shit, like, I am an alcoholic. At least, like, I definitely related to her, and that was really important to me to go, you know, to that meeting and hear that, because I kindly kind of opened my eyes to, okay, I have a problem. So, anyway, so I started going to meetings, like, every day for a month, and I had this boyfriend who was a doctor, and, you know, who we were all educated, and we had this whole educated plan that if I didn't drink for 30 days, there's no way I was an alcoholic. So I was sober 30 days, and then there was going to be my birthday, so we planned a big getaway to Longboat Key with, like, 5 bottles of champagne, and the popped them all open as soon as we got there. I'm like, I'm not an alcoholic. And we started, like, chugging champagne. I blacked out at dinner at the hotel. So that didn't go so well. So then I continued drinking for a little while. And finally in August is when I came around. And I was just by that time, that little bit of AA in my head, oh, man, that just ruins your drinking. Like, just, I would be, like, going to ABC and being, like, looking to see if I saw anyone from AA. You know, I'd be, like, at a restaurant, like, scanning everyone. Like, is there anyone from AA here? Okay, I can drink this martini. Like, it was just horrible. And that emptiness feeling just kept getting worse and worse. And that, like, empty shell feeling that I had. And it just, it got better for the month I was coming, but I realized that I really didn't grasp step one, and which is, like, if you don't get that step, who cares about the rest? Because I always didn't want to accept that I was powerless over alcohol. I thought, I'm just powerless now, but I can, like, gain my powerness back, you know? I can gain my control back if I don't drink for a month, or if I don't drink for so many months, or whatever. So this time, when I came back, I was, like, ready. And got a sponsor, and I did the 90-90. I was so mad I had to do that, but it, like, really ended up loving it. After, like, a month or so, I just, like, like, 2 meetings a day after I get off work, I was like, meeting, you know, and I was, like, so happy. I've never, ever been that happy in my entire life. And I literally remember, like, driving down the street one day, and it was in the fall, and it was really nice, and I was like, all I had to do was give it over to God. Like, I can be this happy. I can't believe it took me so long to figure this out, you know, and then slowly, you know, I'm sober for, you know, like, over 6 months. Like, I think it was after 6 months. And then, what happens? Me and that, you know, ex-boyfriend get back together, and I'm around, you know, I stop going to meetings as much, and I'm around people that are normal, and I try to think I'm normal again. My brain had a hard time with that. I didn't want to, you know, feel like I was different. I wanted to feel like I can control this. I am not powerless. I can drink a glass of wine. Well, so I started trying to do that. And so I would drink, like, a glass of wine, and then, you know, just sitting there, just, like, watching every, like, drop of it go away. I was like, oh my God. And then I'll have one more glass. Okay, so then it'd be, like, 2 glasses, and I'd stop with that. But then eventually, obviously, you know, no matter how many times I would say that, like, the obsession, the craziness of, like, trying to drink like a normal person, it's just, I can't do it. I finally get that. I am powerless over alcohol, without a doubt. So, it really, you know, I started coming back to meetings in October of 2012, just, like, here and there, but not doing any of the work I needed to do, not helping others, just, like, so selfish. And, you know, even though, because during that time that I had, like, was relapsing, I finally got that feeling, like, when people said, I'll try to hurry, when people said, you know, like, I was just drinking and it wasn't doing anything, and I was like, what? Like, it always worked for me. So I'm glad that I went through that and finally got to the point where when I was drinking, it did nothing. Like, it would just piss me off because I would just drink and not get any of that. And I was just, I'm glad I went through that because I never got that. And so, you know, like, being dry sucks. Like, I don't know if anyone's experienced that, and I hope you don't. I mean, I don't know. I'm thankful I did, so hopefully my story can help someone else, but it sucked. Like, it was almost as bad as, you know, drinking, because you, like, you know what the tools are, but you're just too lazy, and you are too, you know, thinking you can control everything. You're not giving anything over to God. You're, like, trying to take all the control yourself. And so finally, you know, today, after those few little experiences I had, you know, being dry is just an empty, depressing life. And, you know, I was actually more depressed being dry and not coming to meetings and not having a purpose. You know, just as almost as bad as drinking. So, I've been coming to meetings now every day for the past few weeks. And, I just, it is so amazing to, you know, be, it's almost like you create that self prison, you know, and I created drinking and I created it being dry. And, it's just, once you get, find the gift of AA and experience the love and acceptance, you know, it's just like nothing other. Like, I'm thankful I'm an alcoholic so that I can experience this. Like, I almost feel it's like I'm thankful because we get to experience this, like, almost like this different dimension where we get to dig into ourselves and really get to, you know, see what we're all about and find our defaults and make ourselves a better person. Because normal people don't get to do that, you know. I was like, everyone should do 12 steps. But I would have never done 12 steps unless I was here. So I'm so grateful to be here. And I'm just so thankful for AA, because AA really just brought me to God, and God can get me through anything, and I'm so thankful for all you guys. And that's it. Thanks.